This morning, Jennifer Urban is going to share with us a message from God's Word. So I'll turn it over to Jennifer.
You know, Mother's Day was a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of came and went without a whole lot of fanfare. No big Mother's Day sales or taking Mom out for dinner or not being able to get together as a rule. So today I'm going to talk about mothers, one mother in particular. We're told about many mothers in the Bible. When I was researching for my sermon, I narrowed my search down to two: Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And I decided to focus on Jochebed. Mary gets a lot of press at Christmas, and I didn't know much about Jochebed. And I really didn't give a whole lot of thought as to what she did as the mother of Moses. She may not be as well known as some of the other mothers in the Bible, but she can certainly be a tremendous encouragement to all of us today. The actions she took surrounding the birth of her baby boy and the tremendous faith she displayed is an encouragement and a challenge to everyone, whether you're a mother or not. There are four D words that I want to use to help us understand the message of this wonderful mother. The first one is the distraction that she faces. The account in the Bible begins by telling us the historical circumstances in Egypt. That's where Joseph was, and he sent his family down there during the famine, if you'll remember that. So the children of Israel have moved into Egypt for many years. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of Exodus that there was a Pharaoh who came to rule who did not know Joseph. Exodus 1, 6 through 10 says, "Now Joseph and his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. 'Look,' he said to his people, 'the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country.'" So that changed the Hebrews' circumstances there in Egypt. It changed the atmosphere and the environment for the children of Israel. That can run parallel with the circumstances in which we bring up our children today. We are living in a nation and a generation that does not know Jesus. When you talk about the Bible or Christian values or mothers who love Jesus, there are many young people today who really don't know what you're talking about. If you have or had a Christian mother, you have a tremendous heritage and you have a lot to be thankful for. Just be aware that there is a generation in America today that doesn't know what it means to have godly Christian mothers. The land of Egypt was a very pagan land. They had gods of every kind and description. They didn't believe in the one true Jehovah. As the result of the kinds of gods that they worshipped in Egypt, they had a very low regard for life. Because of the edict of the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, there was a requirement that all Hebrew baby boys be thrown into the Nile River. Exodus 1:22 says, "Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: every boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." Pharaoh and the Egyptians wanted to do something to snuff out the lives of these people of faith. They wanted to do something to minimize their impact. So Pharaoh and his cabinet sent out the edict that every Hebrew baby boy was to be killed. Now let's think about the impact that that must have had on Jochebed. We know that she had some other children. She had a daughter, Miriam, who was probably about 12. And she had a little boy named Aaron, who was probably about 3. And it's possible that she had other children that we're not told about. The time of birth ought to be a time of great joy, a happy time. But for Jochebed, it wasn't like that at all. It was a time of grief and great anxiety. She knew that she was going to bring into the world a child whose life could be in danger, all depending on the sex of the baby. It is also a time of great anxiety in America today because of the devastating atmosphere in which we are bringing up boys and girls. Think about just one of the many controversial issues we deal with in today's world: sex and children. Think about the impact of the sexual atmosphere in America. Pornography, sexual perversion that engulfs the lives of our children, transgenderism, human trafficking, sexual confusion. It's like a crocodile-infested Nile River flowing right through America. Television, movies, some of the music, all of these kinds of things are making it so that parents bring children into the world with a great deal of anxiety. As a result, there is very little regard for the existence of human life. So, for 9 months, Jochebed is fully aware that the penalty will be if it's a baby boy. In those days, midwives were used to assist in the birth. Exodus 1:15 through 21 says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, 'When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live.' The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, 'Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?' The midwives answered Pharaoh, 'Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive.' So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own." So imagine this. There were midwives who were there to assist Jochebed in giving birth. The baby was born, and the midwife, I would imagine, is over on the other side of the room cleaning up the baby. And Jochebed has a burning question that she has to ask. And the midwife knows that she's getting ready to ask that question, and she dreads it. The inevitable question comes as Jochebed says, "Is it a boy or a girl?" With a choking voice, I would imagine the midwife says, "It's a boy." The moment Jochebed hears that, she knows that her little boy is in danger due to the hostile nation in which they live. When God gives you the beautiful gift of a baby, be aware of the fact that that little baby is born into your family and into the midst of a hostile culture that has already laid claims on their lives. This is the distraction that Jochebed faced, the atmosphere into which she brings a baby boy. The next D word is the determination that she shows. Jochebed is a remarkable woman. She's not a weak woman at all. Women are often called the weaker sex, but they are strong. And there are many godly women who have strong convictions. They're not afraid of the hostile culture in which they live. Look at the determination Jochebed displays. Exodus 2:1 through 5. "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." It says in verse 2 that when she bore a son, she saw that it was a fine child. That means he was a pretty baby. Now, if you know anything about babies, you know that's an unusual statement. Babies, when they're first born, are not usually pretty. Let's be honest, They're wrinkly, they're red all over, and sometimes their heads are misshapen. Yet Jochebed's was a pretty baby. The Jewish historian Josephus says that Moses was such a pretty little baby that men left their jobs to go see him. And Acts 7:20 says that Moses was exceeding fair. Literally, that statement means that the baby was special to God. Jochebed understands that her boy is special, and she's determined that this boy is going to fulfill the purpose that God has for him. Notice what she did. The Bible says she hid him for 3 months. She's hiding him from Pharaoh's soldiers. Have you ever tried to hide a baby, let alone for 3 months? How long do you think it is before the baby finds his or her lungs? So here she is, a Hebrew slave. She most likely works in maybe the brickyards or perhaps in one of the fields. And every day before she goes to work, she has to find some innovative way to hide her baby. As he grows, she realizes that she has to do something and cannot hide him any longer. So she makes a choice. She determines that she is not going to allow her baby boy to be destroyed in the Nile River. That's what every mother has to decide in today's society. Every mother has to come to a point of decision and determination in the lives of their children, that their children are going to be very, very special to God. And it takes that kind of determination to bring up a child today. It takes a lot of tears, a lot of prayers, a lot of talking, a lot of guiding, and a lot of influencing. Now, some of you raise flowers. You know that you have to put a lot of work into it if you're going to bring up beautiful flowers. Roses don't become pretty on their own. You have to cultivate them and fertilize them and care for them, prune them. Where did today's society ever get the idea that you have to cultivate and do hard work to make beautiful plants? And yet you can just kind of leave your children alone and grow as they will without any influence and expect them to come out beautiful. If you want a young man who loves the Lord, and if you want a young lady who lives for Jesus Christ, it's going to take some determination on your part. It's not going to just happen. I think somewhere along the line, Jochebed realized that she was not going to be able to keep this son of hers out of the Nile. But I have the idea that she determined that if her son was going into the Nile, she was going to do something to protect him. Verse 3 says, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. She actually made a little waterproof ark. When you read about the ark in the Bible, it's always a picture of safety. Noah's ark was a big ark so that animals and people could get in and be safe. Here is an ark of a much smaller scale, and it's also a picture of safety. She has determined that if her boy is going to go into that Nile River, he's going to go in the safety of an ark. We mothers know that we can't ultimately shelter our children. We want to. We do everything we can to shelter them, but ultimately we can't. At some point, our children are going to go out into the world in which they live, into the culture that surrounds them. But I tell you what you can do. You can bring them up knowing the Lord so that when they go out into the world, they go in the safety of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The most wonderful thing we'll ever do as a mother is lead our children to know Jesus as their Savior. Far more important than the clothes you put on their back will be the faith that you put into their hearts. Far more important than the culture with which you surround them will be the Christ that you put within them. We ought to be praying for the salvation of our children, both moms and dads, every day of their lives. In fact, we ought to begin praying 9 months before their birth. I can just imagine the last night that Jochebed's baby was at home, the house guarded so carefully that no soldier of Pharaoh's could ever cross the threshold. At dawn, she must have kissed her baby goodbye, placed him in the ark, and hidden him among the reeds and bulrushes, and with an aching heart, turned back to go to the place of her work, waiting to see what God would do. She had done her prayerful best, and when you've done that, you can be sure that God will not fail you. So here goes the little three-month-old baby boy into the Nile River, in the safety of an ark, floating along the bulrushes. His sister, Miriam, is in the reeds looking to see what's going to happen. Exodus 2, 5-9 tells us, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby, and she nursed him." So that morning, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water's edge of the Nile, and she saw the ark floating in the reeds. She sent one of her maids to fetch it and bring it to her. With female curiosity, the daughter of Pharaoh just had to look in and see what was there. When the covers were removed, there lay a strong, healthy baby boy kicking up his heels. He looked up and he began to cry. What do you suppose caused him to cry? I think maybe he got a heavenly pinch. The Lord knew that when you got a woman's heart, get a woman's heart and a baby, crying baby together, something magical is going to happen. No woman's heart is any match for a crying baby. The baby won Pharaoh's daughter's heart instantly. Those tears blotted out all that was against the baby as a Hebrew boy, and gave him a chance for life. The next D word, the dedication that she instills. Miriam comes out of the reeds along the bank. About that time, she asks, "Would you like to have a nurse to take care of this little baby?" She said, "I really would." Miriam said, "I happen to know a Hebrew woman who can do it." So she ran off and she brought back Jochebed. So Pharaoh's daughter says to Jochebed, not knowing who she was, "You take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." Isn't that something? God gave her a little baby boy, and in her attempt to save him, she gets him back for a period of time, and now she's actually going to be paid to care for him. That's a mother's wages. Now, let's all be honest, mothers. Haven't we all had the thought, or maybe even made the statement to the effect that, "I don't get paid enough for this job"? Wouldn't you like to get paid for being a mother and all that you do? I'll show you later that you can. So she nursed the child. She knows that she's only going to have a few short years to put some dedication into the heart of this child. She knows that she just has a few years to put some faith into his heart. We as mothers know that we have just a few years to do that. Believe me, it goes by in a hurry. We only have a short time to put dedication in the lives of our children while they're in our care. And that's a great opportunity for us as mothers. Jochebed determines that she is going to teach this baby boy the lessons that will put dedication in his heart. She knows where he is heading, and she is going to get him prepared to go there. What do you suppose she taught her little boy? I think she taught him two great lessons. I think one was who he is, that he was special to God. Our boys and girls are special to God. Parents, speak words of encouragement to your children. Speak words that are positive and uplifting. Tell them who they are, that they belong to God, that they are not the result of some accidental evolutionary process. I think she also taught him who God is. I think she said to him, I want you to know that our God is not the God of these pagan Egyptians. Our God is the God who created the whole universe. There's only one God, and he is the Lord God Almighty. Don't ever forget who you are, and don't ever forget who God is. The final D word is the decision that she influences. Jochebed has her baby boy for just a few years, and then that inevitable day comes. Exodus 2:10 says, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. That inevitable day came when Jochebed had to turn the baby's care over to Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine the emotions on that day? Do you remember the first day your little ones went off to school? I can almost see her now as the tears fall down her cheeks and down onto the neck of her little boy. Can't you see her as she puts her arms around him one last time and whispers in his ear, remember who you are. Remember who God is. At that point, her little boy goes into a totally different atmosphere. He moves into the fast lane of Egyptian society. All the luxury and finery will now be poured out on this young man. He's now living in the home of Pharaoh's daughter, and his social status has changed. He's got it made. He was in an altogether different atmosphere academically. The Bible says in the book of Acts that he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. I'm sure he attended the Harvard of the ancient world. When Moses reached the age of 40, he was in line to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. So they put the throne before Moses, and he said, now I'm paraphrasing again, I'm sorry, I can't take it. They said, you crazy Hebrew. Go ahead and take it. It's yours. What do you mean you can't take it? He said, this woman is not my mother. My mother is a slave woman who lives in the tents of the Israelites. Her name is Jochebed. My mother has taught me that this world is not the only world there is. There is another world. My mother has taught me that there is a God who is going to send his son to be our savior and come into this world. I have made a decision. I'm going to cast my lot with my mother's God. That is the day, dear mothers, that Jochebed earned her mother's wages. Mothers, if you make up your mind to bring your sons and daughters up in the ways of the Lord, the day will come when you will get your wages. One of these days, you'll see that little one get down on its knees and ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their hearts, and they will be saved. Mothers, that's when you get your wages. Then you'll see your sons and daughters begin to grow. You'll see them as they get involved in the activities of the church, and you'll see them standing up for Jesus. Mothers, you'll get your wages. Then they'll have some decisions to make along the way, whether they're going to live for the world or whether they're going to live for the Lord. When they decide to live for the Lord, you've earned your wages. Then they'll find a mate, and they'll get married, and on that wedding day, you'll see them standing there pure and in love with each other and in love with Jesus. Again, you earned your wages. Then that day will come out of nowhere when you'll receive a letter or an email or maybe even a phone call. It's basically telling you, Mother, I want you to know I appreciate all you did to bring me up. That's when you get your wages. The day will come when your children will bring children into the world, and you'll see them bringing them up in the ways of Jesus Christ. Again, you'll get your wages. In closing, I want to share a story about a minister who visits an old Scottish woman who is standing at her sink weeping. She wiped her eyes with the corner of her apron, and the minister asked what the matter was, and she confessed, I'm so miserable and unhappy. Why? He asked. Because I have done so little for Jesus. When I was just a wee girl, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I did so much want to live for him. Well, haven't you? Asked the minister. Yes, I have lived for him, but I have done so little, she said. Well, what have you done? He asked. I've washed dishes, cooked 3 meals a day, taken care of the children, mopped the floors, mended clothes. That's all I've done all my life, and I wanted to do something for Jesus. The preacher, sitting back in an armchair, looked at her and smiled. Where are your boys? Oh, my boys, you know where Mark is. You ordained him yourself before he went to China. There he is preaching for the Lord. So where is Luke? He asked. Luke, he went from your own church. Didn't you send him out? I had a letter from him the other day. And then she became so happy and excited as she continued. A revival has broken out in the mission station in Africa. And he said that they are having a wonderful time in the service of the Lord. So where is Matthew? He pressed. Oh, he's in China with his brother. And isn't it fine that the two boys can be working together? I'm so happy about that. And John came to see me the other night. He's my baby. He's only 19, but he's a great boy. And he said, Mother, I have been praying. And tonight in my room, the Lord spoke to my heart. And what do you suppose he said to me? I have to go to my brother in Africa. But don't you cry, Mother. The Lord also told me I have to stay here with you until you go home to glory. The minister looked at her. And you say your life has been wasted in mopping floors, darning socks, washing dishes, and doing trivial tasks? I'd sure like to have your mansion when you're called home.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.